Welcome, merrymakers, celebrants, rechargers, and resolutionists. I am Brooke Warner, and I am here with my fellow reveler, Grant Faulkner, to ring in not only a new year here on Right Minded, but a new decade. And there's something really special about that, about making time at the beginning of something new. And if every normal year is a time to think about what's in store for you for the next year and what your resolutions might be, then I'm just thinking that this being a new decade year is kind of like that on steroids, right, Grant?
Yeah, it's true. I've never made a decade-lution, but perhaps it's time. I actually don't know how I would go about setting such a lengthy goal, though, because I'd like to, or I plan to, write at least three bestsellers that have been made into movies in the next 10 years, or will be made into movies in the next 10 years. And, you know, and also concoct a potion that gives one eternal life. But, it's tough to plan for those things. but it is appealing to recast my current resolutions as a decade goal. For example, instead of trying to lose 10 pounds this year, why not do it in a decade, which seems much more reasonable. I could even just do that 10 pounds in the last year. Honestly, though, I think a year or a decade is too long of a time for most goals and resolutions. I think there's magic in a month or even less. Daily pressure goes a long way to helping you to achieve big goals.
Yeah, it's a good point, Grant. And since we're talking about recharging today, recharging your batteries, your energy, your enthusiasm for whatever project you're currently in, thinking about that on a more micro scale seems really good to me, because I don't think anyone has the energy to stay charged up about anything for a whole decade. I'd love to be told otherwise, actually. And of course, I realize it's possible that some of our listeners are going so strong with their projects that they don't even need to think about recharging. But that is not me. I am definitely the kind of writer who needs a recharge basically every single time I sit down for a writing session. And so I'd be a good candidate for like a portable energy charger that I would plug myself into each time I sat down to a writing session. Someone could seriously make a lot of money off of that, actually. I guess until someone does, though, we have coffee and Red Bull. But coffee and Red Bull are temporary fixes. So I think we should get to the stuff that really works, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today. What do you do, Grant? Is there a standby, an oldie but goodie trick that you have when you need to get re-energized around a writing project?
I love this idea of a portable energy recharger. I think that sounds lovely, and it fits into the theme that we're slowly becoming robots. So no, this is a great question, especially for one like me who sometimes functions on the fumes of burnout without truly knowing it. And I think this is the definition of burnout, actually. Your senses get so warped that you lose perspective. You don't know, you're burned out, and you can't really remember what it's like to be refreshed. So this isn't a trick, but my favorite type of renewal is to go on a long road trip or just a long trip. But that said, you know, sometimes time and money don't allow for that. So I try to find ways to renew that I can weave into my regular life. Every year at the end of the year, I take couple weeks off at Christmas to just read. I don't allow myself to write or work on anything else. That's largely because I don't read, think, and daydream enough in my regular life. And I think that's good to do intermittently throughout the year. Skip a writing day once a month and, you know, give yourself a break and spend it reading or at a museum or a movie or indulge in all three or more. Or skip a whole week of writing to read and recharge, whatever recharge it means for you. I also now have the habit, which I have just picked up recently within the last year or so, of taking a midday walk every day, which allows, really holds magical surprises. It's one of those things that's easy to skip, you know, like if I can always talk myself out of it that I don't have the time for it. But I always find it so nourishing, and the walks always lead to unexpected revelations. So how about you, Brooke? Do you have good tricks?
I am the absolute worst when it comes to tricks. I don't have any up my sleeve, and all of my ways to recharge just cost money. So I pay people to hound me, basically. I need coaches and editors, and I think this stems from my time as a competitive runner. And you're kind of ruined after that, you know, because you have a coach or it just doesn't get done. And so these days, I mean, I'll talk about my exercise for a second because I always think about that with resolutions, but like I'll go out on a short, slow run by myself, or if it comes to like a yoga or lifting weights kind of endeavor, I have to have a structure. I have to go to the gym or a class. And so when it comes to discipline related stuff, which extends to my writing, I apparently respond very well to people telling me what to do. And so rather than resist this reality, which is just true for me, I get really good about accountability structures. And so I'm happy to say that I already have mine in place for 2020.
All right. I want to hear about some of your accountability structures. I'm somewhat obsessed by these of late.
Yeah, I'm big on accountability structures, probably because I'm a coach and because I'm very, very deadline driven. And also because I'm a little bit of a masochist, probably, I have hired a coach to support me to develop a new TEDx talk. And it's just now beginning to take shape. So we'll see where that goes. And I'm equal parts excited and terrified, which is usually a pretty good indicator that I should keep going. And I'm also going to release the audiobook of Right On Sisters, which I've been working on. I recorded it myself, and that's a whole new thing I've never done before. And I'm definitely going to do NaNoWriMo 2020. I had to skip in.
Right.
I know. I knew you'd be happy. I had to skip in 2019 because I just dove in so hard and in 2018. And so I wanted to regroup. And I love the idea of doing it the right way, which is just to have fun with it and maybe even experimenting with a novel.
All right.
Though probably not. I'll probably work on a memoir. And so, yeah, how about you, Grant? What are your big, hairy, audacious goals, your BHAGs for 2020?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. And that's great. You're doing NaNoWriMo again, whether it's a memoir or a novel. I feel like that's one of the best accountability structures I've ever encountered. And I have two immediate writing goals that I've been working hard on already. So they're nearing completion. I've mentioned them before on the show, but my book proposal for my book about rejection is nearly finished. I did this wonderful interview with Marlon James and wrote a sample chapter based on that interview that I had, which I find endlessly fascinating. And then I'm in the final throes of my final revision of my novel, which I hope it really is final. And both should be done by the end of February. And I guess in a perfect world, I'd ship them off and they'd sell and I'd continue working on them with an editor. But if that doesn't happen quickly, I plan to return to a novel I was working on and take some notes for a memoir I've been thinking about. So part of my creative refreshment strategy is actually juggling multiple projects. This really works for me. I might work on one writing project for a month or two and then take a break and do another writing project for a month or two. And I find it nice to always come back to something that's already in motion and with fresh eyes so I can kind of pick it up with new momentum.
So this is amazing, Grant. I just confessed to maybe working on a novel and you just confessed to probably working on a memoir. So it feels a little bit like Freaky Friday or something. And before we end, Grant, I thought it would be fun to revisit where we each were a decade ago at the beginning of 2009, going into 2010. Do you remember any specific goals you had and what you did to make them happen?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this because of all the photos on social media where people were posting photos of their 2009 self versus their 2019 self. And I hadn't thought back 10 years in a long time or not in that way. And it's very odd for me to remember because I was in somewhat of a dark or stagnant place because I had just come out of having 7 years of physical problems with repetitive stress injury and carpal tunnel. And I barely wrote during those 7 years. And I had two young kids and they took a lot of time. And I was trying to work on a novel, but that's what I was frustrated about, is not having the time. And so I actually did NaNoWriMo for the first time in 2009. And soon after that, I discovered writing 100-word stories. And I then soon after that started the online publication 100-word story. And at that time, I was also thinking about going back to school to get my MBA in nonprofit management. But I realized that if I did that, I not only would go broke, but I'd have to give up writing. So I essentially doubled down on writing, which now thinking about it, it probably wasn't the most practical thing to do, but it's all worked out, I guess. So I joined the NaNoWriMo board, which led me to this job. I started sending more short stories out and had the good fortune to get many of them published. I started developing a community of writers, both locally by hosting a reading series and nationally by going to writing conferences and connecting with people. And yeah, so this has been a great decade for me. I've published 4 books and have 3 more in motion. So I feel like it's been the best decade of my writing life, but it took a long time to get here. So I want to hear your time travel story, Brooke.
Yeah, I'm really amazed by this. It sounds like it was very much a turning point decade for you. And when we posed this question to ourselves, I thought back with a little bit of delight, but also surprise at my hubris at the fact that my goal at the end of 20 2009 was to have a baby. I actually did put that on the list of things I hope to do in 2010. And I think at the time it was just to get pregnant, not to actually necessarily have the baby. But because I was in a same-sex marriage in 2009, it really had to be a goal. And it was a little bit more complicated and less intimate than what a lot of my straight friends were getting to do. But in 2009, we bought a family car in preparation for this. And then we did, in fact, conceive in March 2010. And James was born at the very end of 2010. So that decade for me was largely about being pregnant. And that will probably remain, or not the decade, the year 2010, right? But that will probably remain my biggest, hairiest, and most audacious goal of all times.
Yeah. Lots of novels and lots of memoirs within that goal. Definitely. lots of stories. And a good reminder that goals come in all forms. I'm definitely recharged just from this conversation. And I hope all of you out there will be too. So happy new year. Thanks for listening. Thank you for supporting us. If you're feeling generous, please rank us or leave a review. And let's see if we can reach 500 reviews in 2020. That would be more than doubling what we have now. And I think we can get there.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And we're so grateful to all of you. Thank you. Happy New Year. And we are so excited to be back with you, kicking off 2020 next week with Marissa Meyer.